The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go!
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go!
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go!
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Big show today. Buy low, sell high. Heath sigh. A game on Thursday night. Ben Folds 5. A special guest joining us live. One of my best intros. What's up, Heath? Pretty good, right?
Well, there's rhyming? Two questions you asked there. One of your best intros? Absolutely. Pretty good? Not really.
I'm getting better, though.
How long did it take you to write that thing?
Not that long. 30 seconds to a minute. I'm that good.
I picture you like spending hours writing that.
No, you know what? I did not, but thank you. But I did notice, Ben, you are very dressed up today, as am I. That must be because we have a special guest joining us in the studio. Sia Najad is coming on. He made an amazing, generous donation to St. Jude. He won a guest spot on our podcast, and we'll talk to him in a little bit. We're going to play Fantasy Feud with him later on in the show. But because we have so many things to talk about, let's go to some buy low and sell high right out of the gate. Ben is going to give you some buy lows that I don't really agree with. Ben, you're on the clock.
This week was interesting. I've talked a lot on this show about air yards, using air yards in addition to targets to look at wide receivers. The top four guys in air yards this week all pretty dramatically underperformed the volume they saw. So you see guys wind up with a really low stat line and don't necessarily recognize that they had the potential for the big plays, the downfield shots. Two that I mentioned that I guess you must be talking about are Philip Dorsett, who had 9 targets and well over 100 air yards, and Curtis Samuel, who obviously is playing with a backup quarterback at this stage, but also had plenty of air yards, got a lot of deep shots this week. Neither of them are very productive. And then for the season in air yards, DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller are both guys that I think you can look at. Will Fuller should have had a long touchdown this week. Deshaun Watson overthrew him, but they're 9th and 12th in air yards for the season. John Brown was another guy who was a little bit underproductive this week, but is very good in air yards for the season.
You know what it
he's
is,
top
Ben?
10 in air yards for the season.
I think for me, philosophically, when I'm buying low, I look at this as an opportunity to get great players who are underperforming. So my mind, buy low, like Hopkins, yeah, absolutely. That was one of the guys I was going to mention. It's just he's too good to be performing like this, even with the lower target share that we talked about on Sunday night. But I don't know. I feel like with buy low, that's your opportunity to take players who were drafted in the early rounds that have the chance to be real difference makers, really great players for your team, and get them for mid-round or late-round value, depending on the type of league you play in. So I just, like, I wouldn't buy low on Curtis Samuel with a backup quarterback. You know, I guess I just wouldn't really look at these guys because they're good. They may be worth starting. And I'm more nervous about Curtis Samuel, I think, just because they don't really throw the ball that much with Allen, and they have a lot of mouths to feed, to be honest. But that's sort of my philosophy, Ben. It's just, I'm just kind of looking like, let's get some great players. Like, not
how many.
Yeah.
How many of the top few round great players are A, underperforming, and B, actually buy lows? Because like Juju Smith-Schuster is another guy that I thought of, but I don't know if I want to buy low on him for a similar reason, because of the backup quarterback issue and the fact that they basically went to a wildcat gimmicky jet motion offense that would not be good for him if they could continue to do that. Yeah, DeAndre Hopkins is a great one. There's not a ton more guys in a lot of the top picks are actually performing. So I know I agree with you philosophically. And I also think as far as buy lows go right now, it's a huge deal. Your record is a huge deal. If you're 0-4 or 1-3, you need to be optimizing for the next 2 or 3 weeks. You shouldn't be buying guys that you're looking down a little further down the line and hoping will be productive in a month. You should be selling those guys, and you should absolutely be trying to win as the next 2 or 3 weeks or your season's going to be done. if you're out in front, if you're winning, if you're 4-0 or 3-1, you can be trying to grab guys that might have the potential to be more productive later in the season. Like a Curtis Samuel, I expect Cam Newton will be back at some point.
The answer to buy low this week is just wide receiver. Because almost all of the top wide receivers have underperformed what we expected. And I expect almost all of them, except for maybe Juju Smith-Schuster, to be just about what we expected. I did not draft any Odell Beckham because I didn't have him as a top five wide receiver coming into the year. It's like sixth or seventh for me, right in the Mike Evans range. I would absolutely be buying low on Odell Beckham. And then there are some other guys in that range of, maybe not Curtis Samuel, but a little bit lower. Tyler Boyd, I love his involvement in the passing game. He's just unlucky that he hasn't scored a touchdown yet. I'd absolutely try to buy low on Tyler Boyd before this matchup against Arizona.
Especially with John Ross out. Now, as far as one other guy I just want to bring up is Josh Gordon. That was a guy that I'd like to maybe buy low on and get your thoughts on that. Look, we should, and on Philip Dorsett, Ben, he's actually only owned in 65% of leagues. So, I think you're making a good point. Just like, it was Buffalo, it was a tough matchup, and don't give up on the Patriots, guys. Like, I put out a tweet about the Worryometer, which we'll also try to get to today, and somebody said Julian Edelman, and I just don't see a reason to be concerned at all about Julian Edelman. In two of three games without Antonio Brown, he had double-digit targets. One of those was in only one half. So they all had bad games against Buffalo. Look at their schedule. It's incredible. Josh Gordon, his next three opponents, ranked 31st, 29th, and 30th in fantasy points allowed to wide receivers. Washington, the Giants, and the Jets. I'm just throwing out the Buffalo game. It was one of Tom Brady's worst games as a starting quarterback. So that's someone I like. Heath, yes or no, buy low on Josh Gordon?
I'm just wondering if the college football playoff system is going to penalize the Patriots for their scheduling this year, because it's ridiculous. Yeah. The teams that they're playing, like play a bit Power Five team for one.
Look at their schedule later in the season. They actually gets pretty tough. It does.
They play a couple of conference games. Good. I think Josh Gordon is a buy low. I'm a little bit leery just about the Patriots pass attack, because we've gone through four games, and really three of those were pretty good matchups. Yes, the next three games are pretty good matchups, but then you get to the second half of the season, and generally speaking, when the weather gets cold, the Patriots go more run heavy. And so I just worry that, like, if we're cutting the season into four quarters, we're through the first quarter, which should have been one of their best. It was a little bit of a disappointment. The fourth quarters we're kind of planning on being a little bit of a disappointment.
So Gordon's a really good example of a guy that if you're 0-4 or 1-3 because of the great matchups coming up, and I agree with Adam, I kind of throw out this Bills game because it was a tough matchup. Brady typically struggles there, and he had his worst yards per attempt since 2009 in a game since 2009. So, and that's not what we're expecting from Brady going forward. Gordon's a guy who, if you need to win in the next couple of weeks and you're trying to optimize for the next couple of weeks, he has great matchups for the next couple of weeks.
Yep. And you know what, Ben? You know how I knew that Brady had one of his worst games ever? From stealing signals. Ben's weekly column. It's awesome. All right, let's do some sell high here. HQ, though. You got to be watching HQ if you need more fantasy advice. Noon Eastern every day, Monday through 1 p.m. Eastern on Sunday. Download the CBS Sports HQ app and watch fantasy football today. Great, great advice for you. I'm not on it, but it's still great advice. I'm not trying to promote something I'm on here. Like, trust me, it's awesome. And if you miss it at noon Eastern, you can watch it on demand later. Just get the CBS Sports HQ app on your OTT devices. We have a Facebook group and a Facebook giveaway this week. What is your draft day pet peeve? Like when someone drafts a player who's already been picked. Yeah, that's annoying. When someone shows up without a cheat sheet, asks to use yours. When the host forgets to order the pizza, that would be something that I would do. Tell us your biggest pet peeve on draft day. And like I mentioned, Sia Najad is joining us today. He donated to St. Jude. We thank him so much for that. And we'll hear from him in a bit. Sell high candidates. Heath, you can start with this.
We'll start with Wayne Gallman. It was a fantastic performance, but my biggest concern for Gallman is that the next 2 weeks could be absolutely terrible against the Vikings and the Patriots. And then we're looking at a max of four more weeks of Wayne Gallman as a starting running back, possibly less than that, the way Saquon Barkley has been talking. I would trade Wayne Gallman for just about any starting player at just about any starting position. Ben was talking about if you're 4-0, 3-1, then you're looking towards the end of the season. If you're 1-3, 0-4, you're looking towards the next couple of weeks. I'm not sure that Wayne Gallman is great for either. He'll be good for week 7. He's a low end starter for the next 2 weeks, but not somebody I'm excited about.
Yeah, I'm a little bad that you have Gallman ahead of Gurley in PPR. I don't think you're the only one, by the way. I think Dave also does. Jamie has them back to back. A little mad about that. We'll preview that game later, Heath, but I don't think you should have Gallman ahead of Gurley. What do you think about that?
Well, it sounds ridiculous when you say it, and like we're still at the point in the week where it's all what the spreadsheet spit out, and I haven't looked into it too much. But like Todd Gurley hasn't had a game like Wayne Gallman had last week yet.
Oh, he had a
pretty
good game
last
week.
You got to be pretty optimistic. Yeah, you got to be pretty optimistic about the targets. Obviously, they threw 68 times for Gurley. But the other big thing that's pretty wild, they had a really up-tempo game, and his snap share didn't really come down. So he ended up playing, I believe it was 74 raw snaps, which is like one or two off the NFL season high for a running back, which is a Christian McCaffrey game. He had a couple more than that because he plays like 100% of the snaps. But a ton of raw snaps. When you think about an up-tempo game, they didn't actually sub Gurley out a lot. Probably a pretty good sign.
All right, that's interesting. We'll see how he responds on a short week. That's kind of good to know. So Wayne Gallman's a sell high. Ben, who else?
Yeah, I mean, again, buy low, sell highs are always going to be price dependent, right? But Chris Godwin is a guy that if I could get really top end value out of, I wouldn't mind selling right now. Mike Evans was pretty sick to start the season in week one, didn't play a full snap share, came back on a short week in on Thursday night in week two, and both of those games weren't great for him. They were very good for Godwin. And now week three, we saw a lot more Evans. Now in week four, we saw a game that was really up-tempo. I just mentioned it on the Rams side, but on the Bucs side as well. Tons of passing, tons of volume overall on both sides. The type of game that is great for everyone's fantasy ceiling. And Godwin really thrived in that game. 14 targets, 2 touchdowns. His air yards were almost identical to Evans, even though Evans had half as many targets. Evans is the downfield guy that has more boom potential. Obviously, Godwin just had a huge boom game, but Godwin's more of a compiler in that Larry Fitzgerald role in the Bruce Arians offense. He's been great so far, but definitely, I think, overperforming a little bit rest of season expectations and coming off a game situation that was really great for just compiling stats. If you can get – he's top five in all formats right now. If you can get top five value for him, I'd be fine selling him.
Okay. Would you sell him for Tyreek Hill?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, yes. Hill's going to be back pretty quick, and I expect Hill to be a lot better the rest of the way.
I have tried two different leagues to trade him for Tyreek Hill, and I can't.
Yeah, interesting. Any other sell highs? Guys, I would just say if you own two tight ends, it's really not a, in my opinion, not a great use of a roster spot. I would try to sell one of your tight ends.
Austin Hooper's a tight end that I noticed as well. I mean, a couple touchdowns last week, been very involved. I don't expect Calvin Ridley to be uninvolved the rest of the way. If you go back and look at Austin Hooper's game log last year, I think I talked about this last week, but he had some stretches with more targets over a stretch, and then it would just kind of disappear. This is an offense that has four targets, including Sanu and Ridley and Jones, and even Devonta Freeman out of the backfield, and the targets just kind of go where the matchup goes. Last week, they couldn't get the ball down the field while they were chasing points, and Jones and Ridley didn't see as many targets at higher average depth of targets. And then we saw Sanu, Hooper, and Devonta Freeman all see a bunch of dump-offs underneath based on what the defense was giving them. Hooper is not an elite tight end. He's a good tight end. He's going to have more boom weeks. But if you can get really good value for him and then go pick up somebody like a Chris Herndon, who I think is somebody you should be looking at for when he returns, that's a trade-off I would take. I would take Herndon over Hooper probably the rest of the way because I think Herndon has more upside.
So far, the Falcons' targets look like this. Julio Jones has 37. Austin Hooper has 33, Muhammad Sanu 31, Calvin Ridley 23, and Devonta Freeman 21. So pretty spread out, but Ridley trailing Hooper and Sanu by 10 and 8 targets respectively. But, you know, next week, it could be completely different, you know. All right, cool. Chris Godwin, Wayne Gallman, Austin Hooper. Heath, any more names? Or are we good?
I think we're good.
All right. All right, we'll come across
I missed a buy low. I missed a buy low that I want to throw in. That's a really quick one. But yeah. Damian Williams, I think it depends how much you got to pay for him. But I think he could take over the Darrell Williams role. I mean, I don't really have to explain that the Kansas City running back role is awesome. both LeSean McCoy and Darrell Williams scored touchdowns last week. Williams scored twice. But the way that they're using Williams and they're using him more in the pass game, they seem to be – he basically just took over Damian Williams' role. And I still expect when Williams comes back that he's going to be involved and potentially will just take that role right back. So if you can get him cheap, he's somebody I'd look at buying as well.
So at this point, is LeSean McCoy the best Chiefs running back rest of season?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. What a world we live in. Well, you can go back to LeSean McCoy on FanDuel. He was underpriced last week. I had him in all my lineups. So that was good. And if you want to compete against me and Heath and Ben and all of our guys, go to FanDuel.com/league/FFT. But before you do that, go to FanDuel.com/FFT and put in $20 and get $5 in site credit for 4 weeks. So that's $20 you put in and $20 you get back. And you can use those $5 every week to join our contest. So there are more ways to win than ever. FanDuel has more ways to win cash prizes and once-in-a-lifetime experiences during every single game, every single week. For $9, you can compete to win $1 million. You can play for $1. You can play for $5. You can play for $20. Whatever. Pick your game. Pick your contest. 50-50s, tournaments. You can play one game, FanDuel contests. A lot of stuff you can do, and you don't have to worry about injuries and bye weeks and bad matchups and your crappy teams and all that. And if you have great teams in seasonal leagues, well, then just get in there and play some more and just keep the good times rolling. Sign up for FanDuel right now and get $20 in total bonus. Make your first deposit of $20 to get started. You'll get an extra $5 in site credit every week for 4 weeks. Go to FanDuel.com/FFT, FanDuel.com/FFT, or download the FanDuel app. Not a lot of news and notes today. Kawan Short, Carolina's defensive tackle, he's out for the season, and that is a big loss for them as they get ready for Jacksonville. Did forget to look this up. I will do it right now, unless you know off the top of your head. He missed the last two games? Is that right? Yes. He missed the last two games, and they faced Arizona and Houston. I think they still did okay against the run. We'll look into that when we preview the game tomorrow. John Ross, though, he could miss a few weeks with a shoulder injury. Heath, where are you ranking Auden Tate, who is 9% owned? Last two games, 4 catches for 50 yards, 6 catches for 88 yards, and he will be at Arizona.
Top 24 wide receiver in both formats. Add him and start him. Wow. He has 16 targets over the last 2 weeks with John Ross on the team. Great matchup against Arizona. I'm starting Andy Dalton. I'm starting Auden Tate. I'm starting the Bengals.
I got to say, I'm nervous about Dalton now without John Ross. Like, he just doesn't have any playmakers.
John Ross catches like one out of every six balls thrown to him.
But he could take it to the house.
But he's a great... His speed is very important to the scheme. We've talked about how they run a heavy 11 personnel scheme that he took from Sean McVay, and Ross is basically playing that Brandon Cooks role. It's really important to creating the opportunities for other receivers in the offense. I think him being out of the lineup is a pretty significant downgrade for the offense as a whole. Whoever is going to play in that third wide receiver spot, Auden Tate has actually played a full snap share the last 2 weeks. In the role that Damian Willis started in, but it eventually will be AJ Green's role in this three wide receiver offense. He's not like getting a bump in opportunity or a bump in snap share. He's been playing tons of snaps.
Right, but he can get a bump.
Someone
in
else
targets.
Is going to take Ross's role. Yeah,
right, but
sure.
Ross was getting 25% target share. Whoever's taking Ross's role is not going to get 25% of the targets this week.
I do think Ross's speed out of the offense is a downgrade for the offense overall.
Gosh, man, they were so bad. They were so bad on Monday night, and
this is nothing new for the Bengals or for Andy Dalton. They're up and they're down. They're up and they're down. This is what it's been in the entirety of his career. And what if Tyler Eifert just catches that touchdown pass that
hit
him in both
hands
in the end zone?
It's still a terrible game.
Well, we don't even know how the game goes after that. It probably changes the whole flow of the game.
Oh yeah, right.
Hey, Brian throws for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, I agree. You know what?
Probably
Tyler Eifert
for 250 and 2.
No, he would have not. Okay, let's move on. Yeah. Roquan Smith is out indefinitely. He's dealing with a personal issue. That's Chicago's linebacker. They're in London to face Oakland this week. Kirk Cousins apologized to Adam Thielen for missing him. What?
What? Adam Thielen's supposed to be apologizing to Kirk. Kirk Cousins didn't call Adam Thielen out on national. I don't understand.
This is how bad it's gotten with the Vikings passing game. We have quarterbacks. We have wide receivers. Complete mutiny. Just go into the media, and then we have the quarterbacks apologizing to the wide receivers. It's awful.
Well, I think he's going to have a big game, Thielen. I don't know. I hope for Cousins, but they're at the Giants this week, so plenty of opportunity. It seems that Marlon Humphrey may not have choked Odell Beckham. If you go to the Baltimore Ravens website, they have a pretty good camera angle showing that it didn't look like he was choking. They also have the most biased article ever written, ever, completely defending Marlon Humphrey, who was just doing what he was taught to do or something like that. It's pretty hilarious to read, but it actually does have good video there, so you can check that out. And a beer vendor got arrested for charging $724 for two beers at Hard Rock Stadium, home of the dreadful Dolphins and horrible Hurricanes. $724 for two beers, Heath. Out of your price range?
Out of my price range, yes.
Yeah, all right. I thought so. That's a lot of bad stuff going on at Dolphins at Hard Rock Stadium. Do we have any injury updates, by the way? Damian Williams, Marlon Mack, all the guys that we were...
I saw a note that Tyrell Williams is banged up.
Oh.
Yeah, he's had a hip thing for a couple of weeks. Is this a new one, or is it still the hip thing?
I just saw that he was questionable, so maybe it's still the same thing. I just saw that this morning. I didn't see a lot of information about it, but thought it was worth noting.
Guys, I'm going to let you script the show. Do you have an interest? Did you come prepared with an interesting stat?
No, not specifically.
Okay, well, I did. I
have an interesting stat, but you stole it and put it in the notes.
I put it in there for you, Heath. Okay, go ahead. What's your interesting stat?
Per Sports Info Solutions, Sony Michel has a 0% broken tackle rate. Every tackle attempt against him has been successful. Now, immediately, of course, Patriots fans responded to me on Twitter with videos of possibly a Sony Michel broken tackle. He has a 1.5% broken tackle rate. I'm not sure. I have not verified the video. But
that's amazing. You got Patriots fan Zap Ruder filming you.
and it's not even my number.
Down to the left. He breaks the tackle.
I cited Sports Info Solutions. They charted the game, not me. Regardless of whether it's 0-1 or even two broken tackles, Chris Carson had like 25 in his most recent game, 21. I'm exaggerating.
Wow.
He's been really bad.
He has been. So what should we do? Because I said yesterday on the Waiver Wire show that you should still consider picking up Rex Burkhead, who yesterday was like 64% owned. People were asking about Damian Harris. Michelle is averaging like 2.3 yards per carry, something horrible. What should we do, Heath?
I'll start James White in PPR this week. I'm not starting any Patriots running back than non-PPR.
Let's talk long-term, though. Let's guess long-term.
I've been telling you and you argue against me sometimes. This is the Patriots running back situation.
No, it is. Okay.
Michelle had a good 8-game stretch last year.
But he's been horrible. He's been horrible. He had the opportunity to win this job, and he's blowing it. But they've shown...
Rex Burkhead was the most valuable Patriots running back until last week, and then he gets one touch.
I think that was an injury situation.
Give up on Sony Michel, and then he's going to rush for 115 yards and three touchdowns in a game.
Well, he could do it three weeks in a row.
I agree with Heath completely that they will go with who's available, who's healthy, what the scheme dictates, all of that stuff. It's a really hard thing to project because, again, look, Rex Burkhead gets a little bit banged up, still plays. I think in another offense, probably could have played a lot more than he did. But for the Patriots, it's like, okay, this game doesn't matter as much as our whole season matters. We're just going to go. And we have like 900 running backs. So we're just going to go more towards James White this week in the passing game, in the role that Burkhead is kind of sharing as the passing down back. And then obviously still use Michelle heavily. But yeah, down the road, it could be Damian Harris. It could be anything. I mean, in the Scott Fishbowl, really deep league, I just picked up Damian Harris because he got cut. Not because I think he's worth necessarily owning right now, but I do think 5 weeks from now he could be. we don't know.
Right. Well, look, what I gave you, what I say said in the preseason, what I've said is actual evidence, actual data that the Patriots used Stephen Ridley, LeGarrette Blount, and I'm pretty sure Sony Michel last year at about 16 carries per game. Now, you know Michelle's not going to get passing downs work, which is always a knock, but if you get 16 carries a game from Michelle, you're going to have a productive running back who's going to score touchdowns. He's just blowing the opportunity. So I do think maybe it's more complicated now because they don't want to get completely away from Michelle, but if there's going to be a lead running back who's getting 16 carries per game for the Patriots, I want that guy. And maybe it's too complicated this year, but I think going into the year...
Well, and that's also like three seasons. Like Stephen Ridley, you're going back to 2012 or...
Okay, but so LeGarrette Blount was recent and Sony Michel was last year.
Sure.
So LeGarrette Blount had the 18 touchdown season, rushing touchdown season. He's the only guy in the last, I think it's like 5 or 6 years, to have more than 6 rushing touchdowns in this offense. So that's another issue. I would say on Michelle, you're saying you want a guy who rushes 16 times in this offense. Well, he doesn't catch passes. He's very much that trap back that we've talked about. And he's not getting as much goal line work as we'd expect.
Well,
this week
problem,
it was Brandon Bolden who gets the touchdown, because they don't mind. James Devlin had 4 rushing touchdowns last year. He's obviously out this year, but they will do all sorts of stuff in the green zone, in the close, inside the 10, inside the 5 range. It's hard for guys to have double digit rushing touchdowns in this offense. Blount had that one season, but it doesn't happen every year like we might expect.
Would you rather have Sony Michel or Ronald Jones?
Ronald Jones, obviously.
Yeah, I think I'd rather have Ronald Jones.
Oh, man. Okay. Would you rather have Sony Michel or Miles Sanders?
I'd take Sanders, too. I think there's more upside.
I'm really concerned about Miles Sanders. Just the trend in terms of the snaps for Jordan Howard and the actual performance for Miles Sanders, other than a couple of long catches. I'd probably take Michel.
All right, here's my interesting stat for this week. Joe Flacco, he's having his best season. He's got a career-high completion percentage. He's his second-highest yards per attempt, second-highest yards per game. He's on pace for 4,304 yards. His career high is 4,317 yards, so almost identical to what he's on pace for this year. That 4,317 yards in 2016, that's Flacco's only season with 4,000 passing yards, so it's a complete outlier. So far, so good. I bring it up because so far the Broncos have 2 top 16 wide receivers, Sutton and Sanders. Their stats are nearly identical. They have something like 22 catches, 300 yards, and 2 touchdowns, something like that, both of them. They're both top 16 guys. I'm very impressed. I want to check Sutton's ownership percentage and see how much it rose, because he was 70% yesterday. I'll get back to that in a second.
He should be owned in all leagues.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I think too, but the thing is, like, I'm thinking to myself, Joe Flacco cannot be this good. So what's going to happen?
I saw that stat in the notes, and the first thing I thought is, like, the weather's great right now, right? And you mentioned before that as we get later into the year, it's going to be more difficult. I checked his splits over the first 4 weeks and the rest of the season for his entire career. He's actually been about 1.3 points per game in fantasy better in the first 4 weeks of the season throughout his career. So that's one thing with Flacco, where if he's having a career year through the first 4 games, we would expect him to not be throwing for as many yards when it starts snowing in Denver, especially. But I do agree with you. I think he's a pretty decent fit for this offense. Things have looked pretty good there. Emmanuel Sanders obviously looks very spry, but the story that is Emmanuel Sanders and how quickly he came back from his injury has completely overshadowed Courtland Sutton, who was a breakout candidate already as a second-year guy, very good profile, was a little bit underrated last year even because he had an extremely high uncatchable target rate, but he still had over 8 yards per target even though he only had a 50% catch rate, and so many of his deep throws were uncatchable from Case Keenum. But I talked about him a lot this offseason as a guy who has that downfield role, is going to get the air yards, and he's continued to show it this year, although last week it was Sanders who got more downfield shots. But Sutton's going to have the downfield role, and he's been a lot more efficient this year, and he seems to be meshing with Joe Flacco a lot better than he did with Case Keenum last year. Really like him the rest of the season.
Last year, through the first 4 games of the season, Joe Flacco had thrown for 1,252 yards, 8 touchdowns, and only 2 interceptions.
Okay.
He was much better last year through the first 4 games than he has been so far this year.
Well, that's good to know. Glad I brought this up. But then, so what does that mean for you, that you'd be trying to sell Sanders? Or it's hard to sell a guy who's 79% owned. That means not everybody's buying
in. I don't think you can. Yeah.
But Sanders. Like,
I'm fine. They're number 3 receivers that you can start. They don't have, like, you should have sold Sanders after the first 2 weeks when he was the number 5 wide receiver in fantasy.
Yeah, but he's coming off a good game.
Yeah, I'm selling Sanders.
Yards.
Yeah.
You're selling Sanders before Sutton.
Right.
Because you can get more.
I think Sutton has the potential to be a superstar eventually, and I just not a guy I'd want to sell where he's not even owned in every league. His value is not high enough right now. But Sanders is a guy I think you could sell. He's been very good.
All right, we got the worryometer. We've got Thursday Night Football.
I got a good stat for you. I pulled one up from Stealing Signals. This is a really interesting one. Kyler Murray in Week 1 had one of the all-time highest air yards games. The game went to overtime, but his average depth of target was 10.8 on his passes, or 10.6, very downfield. And then in week two, it was 8.2. Again, very downfield. That's a high number for a quarterback. Last 2 weeks, it's been 5.9. And now this week, it was 5.3. So all of a sudden, Kyler Murray and this Cliff Kingsbury offense, which was this air raid downfield, heavy air yards offense that I was very excited for after week one and week two, they're just checking everything down underneath. We've seen that impact Larry Fitzgerald's stats and Christian Kirk's stats, who's now a little bit banged up over the last 2 weeks compared to their first two games. When you're not, I mean, it's a great test case for air yards in general. Go look at Larry Fitzgerald's stats. His yards per reception are way down because he's only seeing shorter targets now. It's been great for David Johnson, though. His targets have really spiked the last 2 weeks.
All right, I do have to cut you off. That's interesting stuff. I also saw that Rich Reber at Lord Reeves tweeted that yesterday, something about his air yards. So, you know, that's just me, Pocket Aces, finding cool stuff on Twitter with my new best friend. Let me tell you about ZipRecruiter, okay? Hiring can be a challenge, as Codable co-founder Gretchen Huebner discovered. But Gretchen needed to hire a game artist for her education tech company. She knew it wouldn't be easy to find someone to grow with her team. That's why she went to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter does not depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job so you get qualified candidates fast. Gretchen posted her job on ZipRecruiter, and she said she was impressed with how quickly she found qualified candidates. She also used ZipRecruiter's screening questions to filter her candidates so she could focus on the best ones. And that's how Gretchen found a new game artist in less than 2 weeks. With results like that, it's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Amazing. That's amazing for ZipRecruiter, and that's why you should see why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try it for free at our web address, ZipRecruiter.com/FFT. ZipRecruiter.com/FFT. One more time, that's ZipRecruiter.com/FFT. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Let's preview Thursday night football. Pretty excited for this one. Rams and the Seahawks. This game in Seattle here. All right, so Heath, Goff or Wilson?
Wilson by a pretty fair margin. Like the thing is, the only way that I can see Russell Wilson being bad in this game is if Jared Goff is terrible in this game. Russell Wilson's a lot better quarterback than Jared Goff. It just comes down to whether or not he has to throw. If the Rams don't score, he won't throw, and I'll be too high on him as my number 5 quarterback. But I'm far less certain about Goff.
So what do we make of the fact that the Rams were this impenetrable force defensively? You know, quarterbacks were so bad against the Rams for like 8 out of 10 weeks, and then Winston goes in and just lights them up. I'll go to you, Ben. Do you have faith in Russell Wilson this week?
I mean, I think Wilson can beat any defense, really, and I agree with Heath. It comes down to whether or not they let him throw the ball. Regarding Winston, some of that was just Goff, like especially early in the second quarter, Goff threw 2 interceptions in a row that gave them really short fields. Both of Winston's touchdowns to Chris Godwin came on 2 consecutive drives there. I mean, some of it was just field position. And then, yeah, the like raw stats, the Bucs put up a lot of yards and a lot of production, but also in a really high volume game. And then the Bucs also, I believe, got a return touchdown in that game. So some of that wasn't necessarily the defense doing as bad. It was Goff setting up the defense in situations where they had a hard time being successful.
All right. Well, anyway, Russell Wilson is 6th for Jamie, 4th for Heath, 4th for Dave, and 5th for Heath. Goff, meanwhile, are there waiver wire guys that you would start over Jared Goff, Heath?
Yes. Andy Dalton for sure.
My goodness. Really?
Wow.
I mean,
you're just like really going back to the well with Andy Dalton.
I just do not care at all that like last week was a really bad game on primetime. We overreact to primetime games.
If care about the primetime thing.
Hypothetically, I mean, thrown two touchdown passes in this one game.
Who is he throwing to?
He would
to?
Be a top 10 quarterback in everyone's ranking.
No, he would. Who is he had throwing a very, to?
Yes, he would. 100%, because it's the Arizona Cardinals. 3 out of 4 quarterbacks against them have scored at least 32 fantasy points. But on national TV, he embarrassed himself, got pantsed by the Steelers. Actually, his offensive line.
His offensive line,
so
yes.
So everybody is like, oh, he sucks now. We figured out Andy Dalton. Yeah,
it's John Ross is a
He's
big deal for me.
He's done this for 6 years. It's up and it's down. It's up and it's down. It's an NFC opponent. It's
you also
a terrible
have,
defense.
You also have Gardner Minshew ahead of Jared Goff. Like the golf.
Yes, Gardner Minshew's been a better quarterback than Jared Goff this year.
He has a brutal matchup though. Goff is throwing a ton of passes, 38 or more passes in 3 or 4 games. But he's on the road. We know he doesn't do very well on the road. So Goff is 16th for Jamie, 13th for Dave, pardon me, and all the way down to 20th for Heath. Okay, so Jacoby Brissett, you'd start over him?
Yeah.
Okay, Dalton we know, Gardner Minshew we know. And then Gurley is like a number two running back. Is Chris Carson a must start with Rashad Penny returning? And you know what? I'm sorry, Ben. Because we have our guest coming on, Ben, let me just get to Heath's rankings. We'll just knock this game out.
Sure, Heath, go for it.
Chris Carson, must start?
He is a start at running back. I'm not quite as high on him as the consensus, and I've got him basically just ahead of Todd Gurley in both formats. He has a bunch of upside. The Rams don't really mind if you run against them. They'd much rather Chris Carson run the ball than Russell Wilson run the ball. But you've got that little bit of risk of Penny coming back.
I do see you have Austin Eckler ahead of ahead of Carson. That's surprising.
I've got Eckler and Gordon projected for a 50-50 touch split this week. I think most, like, the difference, I think we all have Eckler in a similar spot in non-PPR. I've got him basically right around 12 in both formats. But, yeah, I think he's going to be very good again.
Okay. All right. Boy. Ben, Carson or Eckler? Because that shocks me.
I'd probably lean Carson just because of how much work they went back. They went back and gave him in week 4. I mean, his snap share jumped way back up. It had dropped both in week 2 and week 3 by double-digit percentage rates, and then it jumped all the way back up to his week 1 rate. So,
are you worried about Rashad Penny, Heath? Is that it?
No. I just have Carson at a pretty normal, like, he's a high-end number 2 running back.
Okay. Tyler Lockett, start, sit?
Start.
When Russell Wilson has thrown less than 30 passes, Tyler Lockett has 2 and 4 targets. Now, when these two teams played last year, they were high-scoring, good fantasy games. So let's hope for the same. I think we're expecting a lot of throwing from Wilson, at least relative to what he usually gives us. But what about DK Metcalf? I can't trust him. No. How about the 3 Rams wide receivers?
Start them.
You sure?
What do you mean?
I don't know. Are you gonna...
Like you,
you're down on Goff.
I am sure one of the 3 wide receivers is going to be bad this week and not worthy of a start.
Right, you've Goff 20th, so I was just curious. Like,
no one has any idea which of these 3 wide receivers is going to be bad.
Yeah,
this
week. It's true. Home road splits. Woods last year was basically the same. Cooks and Kupp were much better at home, as is Goff. But I don't know how much you're going to make of that. Any interest in the Rams tight ends?
No.
How good is Will Disley this week?
A fine low-end starter.
O.J. Howard or Will Disley?
Disley easily. I said he's a starter.
Colts tight end or Will Disley?
That hurt me.
I will take Jack Doyle over Disley in PPR if T.Y. Hilton is out. We're not going to know that on Thursday, most likely, so I'd probably start Disley.
And finally, are you starting either of the DSTs?
I don't really want to, no. I dropped the Seahawks in a couple of different leagues. Just checking my rankings to make sure I don't have them ranked as starters. And no, good, I don't. So no.
Let's take a quick break here on Fantasy Football Today. We got a lot left. We got Fantasy Feud coming up. We will either do the Worryometer today or tomorrow, but it's going to happen. You all responded on Twitter. I will get to the Worryometer either today or tomorrow. We have an iTunes mailbag that we need to get to. But Sia Najat is coming up right after this. What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe.
Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Welcome back to Fantasy Football Today. Heath's here. Ben's here. I forgot to pull up Ben's music. Sorry. But Sia Nijad is here. Sia, what's going on? Thank you so much for your generous donation to St. Jude, and welcome to Fantasy Football Today.
Thank you, Adam. It was a pleasure. I'm so happy that I was able to contribute to such a great cause. And I want to just say to the fantasy football team, thank you for using your platforms for such charitable endeavors. And I think it's really great that you guys go beyond fantasy football for things like this.
That was way too nice. Awesome. That was way too nice. Thank you, though. We
just
appreciate
tell Adam he's a jerk.
Yeah, come on. You're sitting next to Heath. Like, you know, get those vibes.
He didn't really do
Heath.
Anything. He just... It was just like last year at Buffalo Wild Wings.
All right, so we're going to play the feud here. And awesome. The way it works is I'll give you a category. You got to give me the top five or six answers. And we're going to go round robin, one-on-one. Sia, would you like to be in the first contest, or would you like to sit one out and see and just see if Ben and
I'll
Heath
go ahead and let's get in the first contest.
All right, let's do it. Here we go. Let's play the feud, everybody. The top five answers are on the board. This is going to be Sia versus Heath.
One other thing. Heath. During this first thing, you have to say your name as the buzzer if you want to get in and try to give the answer.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Top five answers are on the board. Give me the best quarterback so far in 6 point per passing touchdown leagues.
Heath.
Ben.
Ben, you're out. You're not
Ben,
in this,
you're
Ben.
Not playing.
You're the next round.
Oh, I'm not. I got it.
Yes.
I got it.
You're the next round.
I am going to say, who is Lamar Jackson?
This is not Jeopardy.
Who is? Family
but
feud.
Lamar Jackson is still the right answer.
He's the number one answer. Would you like to pass or play?
I'll play.
All right. Lamar Jackson off the board.
The top, how many answers are on the board?
Top five answers, quarterbacks in 6 point per passing touchdown leagues.
Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes is the number two answer. Good job.
Good start.
Mm-hmm.
Dak Prescott.
Dak Prescott is number four. Good job. We're very proud of you.
It gets more difficult after those.
It does.
Three,
you have 5 seconds.
For me, at least.
Yeah, that's all I had on top of my head.
Hey, Ben, get out of here. Five, four.
I can't heckle.
Deshaun Watson.
You can heckle. Oh, Deshaun Watson. That's one strike. The Najad family is thinking it over. They might have a chance to steal. We've got Jackson, Mahomes, and Dak Prescott.
Russell Wilson?
Russell Wilson is correct. He is number three. Dak was number four, by the way. And you got to give me a second because I wrote Dak Prescott's name twice and I don't have the number five quarterback. So, all right, I am ready now. I have the number five quarterback. Thankfully, it's not Deshaun Watson. Okay, go ahead, Heath.
That would have been something if it was Deshaun Watson.
Ben threw me off.
Five, wow.
Four, three, two.
Tom Brady?
No, he's like number 12. We are looking for the number five quarterback in 6 point per passing touchdown leagues. It's not Lamar Jackson or Mahomes or Wilson or Prescott. It is Heath. Three, two, one.
Matthew Stafford.
He's number six. So close. Ugh. Good guess. All right, see ya.
Are we using decimal scoring?
No. Well, yeah, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, I promise. See ya. You've had some time to think it over. Do you have the answer?
I have.
The number five quarterback in 6 point per pass touchdown leagues for the win.
I'm going to go with Jameis Winston.
You are incorrect. It is Carson Wentz. Carson okay. Wentz. And Heath wins the round.
See, a good guess.
Good guess.
Thank yeah, you. Good guess. Thank you. Heath,
that's who I would have guessed.
Because Winston is number eight. So that was not bad at all.
Yeah. All right. Next category. Heath wanted winner to stay. But...
I think winner should stay.
All right, fine. Winner stays. So you'll get the last round, regardless if it's Ben or Heath. Winner stays. All right, here we go. Our next category, the top six answers are on the board. I'm looking for the NFL leaders among running backs in rushing touchdowns.
Heath.
Ben.
Heath.
Heath? Wait, what? You heard Heath before me?
Of course. Didn't everybody?
I don't know. I heard myself before Heath.
You're wrong. Heath, go, I need an answer here.
Christian McCaffrey.
He is fourth. That means Ben has a chance to get the number one answer.
Mark Ingram.
He's second. All right, you get to pass or play.
Six, me, right?
Top six in rushing. Yeah, you, Ben. Top six in rushing touchdowns.
I'll play.
All right, we got Ingram and McCaffrey off the board. We need four more.
Jordan Howard.
Jordan Howard is incorrect.
Wrong. Well, I got to name some good running backs. That's Alvin true. Kamara.
Oh, good one. But not true. Not correct. You're wrong. That's two.
That's a rough start.
Heath has a chance to steal almost. There are four answers on the board. Rushing touchdowns.
Derrick Henry.
Oh, there you go. No, you're wrong. Sorry. He's just missed the cut. Heath, there are still four running backs on the board. Your chance to steal and essentially win the fantasy feud.
I feel like this is going to be wrong, but I'm going to guess it anyway. Austin Eckler.
Austin Eckler is. What the hell is the matter with you guys? Have you heard of Dalvin Cook?
Dalvin Cook.
So that
makes
means
sense.
Ben Gretsch won. And who are the answers? Dalvin Cook leads all running backs with five rushing touchdowns. He is tied with Mark Ingram. So actually, you did get the number one answer, Ben. I'm sorry. Aaron Jones has four. Christian McCaffrey has four. Jeff Wilson has four. And Nick Chubb has four rushing touchdowns. And
Chubb and Cook are two that we definitely should have gotten.
Yeah, yeah, I would say so.
Jeff Wilson was a sneaky one there.
All right, so Ben, you've got a chance to win. Sia, you have a chance to tie. It's our final round of the Fantasy Feud. We know how it works. Say your name to buzz in. I am looking for tight ends now. Top five tight ends in receiving yards. Top five tight ends in receiving yards.
Ben. Mark Andrews is not a good guess.
He's fifth. That's cool.
He's not top.
Sia, you got a chance to... get a higher answer and control the board.
I'll go with Darren Waller.
Nice. He's third. He is third. All right. Pass or play?
I am going to pass.
Ooh. All right.
Ooh,
Most people on this show play. I like it. All right, Ben. Top five tight ends.
What gamesmanship over there.
Yes.
I
think, you know what? I have faith that you're going to get these. I think C has just made a huge mistake. Travis Kelce is.
I think there's three obvious answers.
Number one. See it. Boy, did you screw that up. Number one is Travis Kelce. Two more.
Yeah, I mean, we got Waller and Andrew. I'm going to say George Kittle still.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, you're wrong. That's one strike. No. All right.
Well, I'm going to say Zach Ertz too.
Oh, Zach Ertz. That's interesting. It's a shame that I don't have my buzzer up. I try to get the fantasy...
Nice.
Dude, music. All right, that's wrong. Two wrong ones. Wow.
So these answers are very obvious.
You're doing horribly.
I know. It's just going swimmingly right now.
Kelce, Waller, Andrews off the board. Top five tight ends in receiving
yards.
I got
to guess. I'm just trying to make sure before I throw it out.
Four.
Three. Greg Olsen.
Hey. Boy, you're bad. All right, see ya.
Wow.
You get a chance to steal.
Wow, I'm awful.
It's not Kelce. It's not Waller. It's not Andrews. Who else?
I'm honestly blanking on this one. I'm trying to figure it out. I know it's not OJ Howard or Chris Herndon.
True. You win.
Would you like a list of teams?
Yes. There you go.
Give him a
couple seconds because I would like, do I get to try to steal for the win over everyone?
Yes. If Sia doesn't get it in 10 seconds, Heath gets a chance.
I will go with
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I don't know.
Wow.
I'll go with Delaney Walker.
Hey, you're wrong. Heath.
I'm going to guess maybe it's Evan Ingram.
Evan Ingram. Yes. Perfect. Oh, Evan Ingram is the winner. All right. So, technically, Ben won.
Keith was not in that. I won both by virtue of my opponent's not being able to steal.
Anything we could do to make sure Heath does not win. Ben actually did win the Fantasy Feud. The other guy, fourth in receiving yards would be, let's get the drop here.
Hey, Hooper.
Austin Hooper. There you go. So it's Kelce, Ingram, Waller, Hooper, and Mark Andrews so far, with Ertz 6 and Greg Olsen 7. So they weren't the worst guesses. Good job. Hey, Ben, congratulations. Big win.
But missing Ingram is again, really bad.
it's pretty bad. All right, Sia, would you like to do the worryometer? Or would you like to do the most traded list?
Let's do the worryometer.
Let's do the worryometer. All right, fellas. So I asked on Twitter. I got like 130 responses, and all of them are in here. No, 10 of them are in here, something like that. John on a worryometer. So here's how it works. 0 to 10. 0, not worried at all. 10, extremely worried. See, I will actually give you the first crack at each of these. John wants to know about DJ Moore on the worryometer. 0 to 10.
I'm going to give it a 5. I actually like Kyle Allen more than I liked an injured Cam Newton. I'm fine with him and Curtis Samuel. 5.
5.
I'm going to go with a 6.5. I don't like what's happened to his target share since Kyle Allen's taken over. He's not throwing DJ Moore's way as much. Now, maybe all of these incompletions to Curtis Samuel will lead to a change in that, but 6.5.
Ben?
1, because DJ Moore's the GOAT.
No, that's absolutely ridiculous. They just have too many. They actually have 4 good options, and yeah, we see the targets the last 2 weeks are terrible.
Yeah, I mean... I'm legitimately not worried about him, though. I have him in like pretty much every league. Heath will remember every mock draft we did all summer. I drafted DJ Moore every single one. He's going to be a star. The QB situation is concerning, but I'm not freaking out over a small sample.
All right, this next one comes from everyone. Juju Smith-Schuster, 0 to 10 on the worryometer. See ya.
9. Bad.
Yeah.
Rudolph is just passing it 2 yards down the field.
No kidding, Heath.
It's always relative to where you drafted these guys, and 10.
Ben?
Yeah, I like Juju as a player, like more than consensus, similar to DJ Moore, and even I got to say this is at least a 6 or a 7. I mean, it's not great.
Who would you rather have rest of season, DJ Moore or Juju Smith-Schuster?
Juju.
Yeah.
Who would you guys rather have rest of season?
Like Heath said, it's relative to where you drafted him.
Understood.
Juju's a... Yeah.
Josh Gordon or Juju Smith-Schuster?
Juju.
See ya? Juju?
I'll actually go Josh Gordon there.
Good for you.
Like, as bad as Juju has been, he's still been better than Gordon, right?
Probably. But does that really matter? Is that really what we're looking at here?
Well, yes, because that helps you put it back into the context of the expectations. We're worried about Juju because he might only be as good as Josh Gordon.
No, that's not like, that's the whole not true. Like,
yes,
Josh,
it's 100%.
Josh Gordon has.
We're not worried.
Josh
not
Gordon
be
played
startable.
One game with Antonio Brown.
What
which
are
I'm
you saying right now, Adam?
Listen,
do fantasy points really matter?
No, like, I don't.
How many
I don't think
whether he scored more points.
I don't think it really does.
Been a disappointment and still been better.
I don't think it really does in this context, because I think you look at half of Josh Gordon's games. One was against one of the toughest matchups in fantasy, Buffalo, where we knew he was a bad start. And 2 was with Antonio Brown on the field. If Antonio Brown were playing, I would take Juju over him. I still might, but I think the argument for Josh Gordon is you look at the 2 games he played without Antonio Brown, and they were pretty good. And you just look at the way Juju's trending. It's down right now. So I actually think that's more important than just looking at the first 4 games into fantasy points.
Well, Juju only scored his touchdown from Mason Rudolph. So he's been much better with Mason Rudolph than he has been with Ben Roethlisberger. If I can split it up into quarters played with Mason
Rudolph.
All right,
next up, Eric
in
says,
games in which Deontay Johnson didn't see at least 2.5 targets.
Devontae
Juju's
Freeman.
Been awesome.
Not even listening. Devontae Freeman, 0 to 10 on the worryometer. See ya.
I'm going to give Devontae a 10. I think Ito Smith is probably the better running back. Also, Josh Gordon plays the Redskins this week, so maybe we'll change our tune after this week.
We will. You and I won't, but Heath and Ben will. All right, so a big one, a 10 for Devontae Freeman from Sia. Heath, Ben?
I was actually really encouraged by the fact they threw it to him 9 times in their last game. They can't defend and they can't run, so the pass-catching back should have the value. 3.
Would you call him more of
9.
A buyer? Wow. Wow. So Heath.
Yeah, I'm with Sia.
What do you think, Heath? You're the in the
I just
here.
Told you what I thought.
All right, so let me then would you be willing to buy low on Devontae Freeman?
Yes, if Ben or Sia have him on any teams, I would be happy to take him off their hand.
I do not.
Mm, all right. This is from Tony Starks. Calvin Ridley, 0 to 10 on the worryometer.
3. Oh, sorry, I'm not first.
I'll give that another probably 9. I don't think Matt Ryan has time to hit those deep targets to Calvin Ridley.
See, yeah, you're a nervous Nelly.
Yeah, right. Are you okay?
Worried about everyone.
Are you okay?
I don't like Ridley.
I like Josh Gordon. Every player.
There you go.
5 for Ridley. I'm slightly concerned.
Okay. Ben, 3, you said?
Yeah, it's like a 3 for me. I still really like him long term. I think a couple game situations haven't gone his way, but we're still working with small samples with all these guys, and you give him a couple bad games, he looks bad, but he also had a really good week 1. I think he's going to be fine as the larger sample, you know, continues to fill out.
Yeah, I think fine. I was hoping for a big breakout, and the fact that Hooper and Sanu are still getting so many targets just doesn't really make me think he's going to that Ridley's going to be great. Sony Michel, we've already talked about. Damian Williams, we have talked about, but let's do it again. Worryometer on Damian Williams. See ya.
I'm discouraged by McCoy's role, but I'll give Damian a 4. I think he'll have a role when he comes back.
Mine's a question mark because I don't actually understand what's wrong with Damian Williams. He had a bruised knee. He had a knee contusion.
Are you worried that he's going to lose his job?
3 weeks ago.
Are you worried that he's going to lose his job?
He can't practice.
What is the deal with his injury? That's a great worried. Point. I
have no idea. His knee hurts. I know that much. I don't know, like, really bad bruise, apparently. 7? Like, if we're going back to the same thing we said with Judu, and it's about where the expectations started, he's not... In my opinion, unless something happens to LeSean McCoy, he doesn't have much of a chance at the role we were hoping for him.
All right, we've got a minute left with Sia, and then Ben and I will stay on and do the iTunes mailbag and a regular. Hopefully, we'll read some regular emails in a second. But Sia, I didn't really get to properly introduce you, so would you like to tell us about yourself and fantasy football, and you know, the floor is yours.
I'll make it short and sweet. I'm a fantasy football junkie, have been since about 2001 when I joined my first league. I'm from the Washington, D.C. area, the suburbs of D.C., and I'm in 5 leagues currently. It's a lot. I monitor a few more, but that's pretty much it.
Are you a Redskins fan?
Just big-time Redskins fan. It's been a struggle the last couple decades. When I was growing up, I thought we were going to go to Super Bowls every 3 to 4 years, and it has not worked out that way.
Is that you said you monitor a few more, and that's what interests me. Is this a situation like I've heard of some people where their family members have leagues, and they pretend like their family member is in the league, but they actually draft and run the team for their family member? Is it a situation like that?
Is this an Adam thing?
No, but I do. I do have 1-4-0 team. It's just, but my wife manages the team. So yeah, just want to point that out.
Is that kind of what you're doing there?
That's what I'm.
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Okay. Great. Well, Sia, thanks for coming on. Thanks for your donation and good stuff today. And I'm going to declare you the honorary winner of Fantasy Feud. Ben, I apologize.
Thank you.
Sia is the winner today.
Well, I actually won, so.
No. But I earned it.
Ben actually won. Sia won.
But how did you win by not winning against
How come it's always disputed who won when Adam hosts?
We have to go the video portion here. Keep watching on youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. You'll hear our mailbag for Sia, for Heath, for Ben. I'm Adam, but we're coming right back in just a moment. Well, before Ben and I answer your questions, if you have any questions about, hey, like, I need to go to a game or a concert, comedy theater. I need to get to an event. What app should I use? You should use the SeatGeek app, obviously. And you should use our promo code FFT and save $10. So that's $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase with the promo code FFT. Been telling you about SeatGeek for a few years. They're one of our most loyal sponsors, and we really, really appreciate it from SeatGeek. But listen, I mean, they're great. They really are. And they've just gotten more and more popular. They have over 50,000 five-star reviews. People know now. People know about SeatGeek. That's the first place I go to get my tickets all the time. They pull together millions of tickets from all over the web. They rate each deal on a scale of 1 to 10. So you look for an event and they say, hey, these are the underpriced tickets. This is the great deal. Go ahead and buy these tickets and save $10. Again, download the SeatGeek app. Use the promo code FFT for $10 off your first purchase. Download that SeatGeek app today. The promo code is FFT for $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Thank you all so much for your iTunes comments and questions. Let's get to some of them right now. From Paul, I picked up Mark Andrews after week one, but I just received an offer for Kittle of Kittle for Mark Andrews. Would you accept this trade?
Yeah.
You give up Andrews for Kittle?
Yeah, I would definitely. I mean, look, Kittle hasn't been great to start the year. He had two touchdowns called back in week one. He's already had his bye now as well. So going forward, you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to carry a second tight end. You can just at any point. I mean, obviously, you don't necessarily need to if you have Andrews, but you'll have to pick one up for a bye week. With Kittle, you just plug him in for the rest of the season. I definitely would still have Kittle over Andrews.
Yeah, I would too. I'm a little less enthused about Kittle than I was a couple weeks ago, because through three games, four games for everyone else, three for San Francisco, they have the second fewest pass attempts per game in the NFL, ahead of only Minnesota. Now, week one, they had two pick sixes. Week two, they blew out the Bengals. They were up big late. Week three, they were in a close game. They had the ball for like 36 minutes. They threw 32 passes. So I think this might be a running team. And that's just something you should consider here. But still, Kittle over Andrews makes sense.
But Kittle easily leads the team in target share. Yeah. So that is the counter to that, at least a little bit.
All right, from EMO, I'm considering offering Gurley and Diggs for Melvin Gordon. Would you give up Gurley and Diggs for Melvin Gordon?
I think that's a little bit of an overpay. I don't think it's crazy. I would put Gordon ahead of Gurley right now. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't just be giving away Diggs free. I understand there's, you know, it's a tough situation with how much they're throwing right now, but I still think long-term, you probably don't want to start him short-term every week, but long-term, he's still going to be a very productive player, and I think they're going to have to throw more eventually.
Now, EMO also said he could possibly get A.J. Green, so he'd be giving up Gurley and Diggs for Gordon and A.J. Green, and I would love that trade. That's not just like a throw-in. I mean, A.J. Green still has some value here.
He's a good value.
Logan from a small town in Kentucky is in a 10-team half PPR league. Give up Gurley and A.J. Green. Get DeAndre Hopkins. Is that too much for Hopkins? Gurley and Green.
It's not for me, especially not in a 10 team. I think you want to consolidate elite talent. I understand like AJ Green is going to be back eventually, and you just noted he's not a throw-in, but I don't necessarily know that we're going to see peak AJ Green when he does come back or what will happen with him, and I am down on Gurley. I think Hopkins is going to be absolutely fine, though. Like, he's been fine with volume, and I think the production will come.
This is from Ace Crew, PPR League. I have Ingram, Melvin Gordon, Austin Eckler, and Leonard Fournette. So he has, in addition to Mark Ingram, he has Melvin Gordon, Eckler, and Fournette. Should I trade Mark Ingram for Saquon Barkley?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it really matters who else you have. I would be fine trading Mark Ingram for Saquon Barkley, even with Barkley being hurt. In pretty much any format. Ingram's a guy that I've mentioned as a sell high just because he's had such he's going to continue to be an efficient runner with Lamar Jackson as quarterback, but he's had so many rushing touchdowns already. We talked about it on the feud part of the episode today that he's tied for the league lead. He's not going to run for 20 touchdowns. I just don't buy that.
This is from Loin the Cut. Who do I start at flex? Juju against Baltimore, Gallman against Minnesota, or Marquez Valdez-Scantling at Dallas?
I'd probably just take the volume with Gallman. I don't think you can go to MVS. We just don't know what his targets will be like on a weekly basis. And Juju, obviously, a little bit of concern after what happened in week four. So I think you just go with Gallman and know that he's going to get plenty of touches.
And finally, from Benny, start two, Mixon against Arizona, Montgomery against Oakland, Eckler against Denver, and Gallman against Minnesota.
I will take Mixon here. I think he gets it going a little bit against Arizona. Arizona's defense is really bad. I mean, I think we have to be concerned about Cincinnati as well, but it's interesting that in the betting markets, Cincinnati's still favored in this game, even after their horrible showing on Monday night. And then my other option, I will go with Eckler. Gordon's going to be back. I don't think you want to play Montgomery in London, and I'm just not really
high
on Montgomery, period.
I like David Montgomery here. I mean, I think this is a really good game script for him.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good matchup as well. But Eckler, there's so many high-value touches in that backfield. They throw to their running backs a ton, and they give so much red zone work to their backs. Last week, I think it was both of Philip Rivers' touchdowns went to the running backs. He loves to throw touchdowns to the running backs. So even when Eckler goes back to his secondary role, I don't think it's going to be as small of a role as it was last year when he was healthy. And I also don't think, like immediately, because I think they're going to work Gordon in. And I also don't think it's going to kill his value that much because he's still going to catch passes and still have the potential to score touchdowns.
And let's see if we can get some regular good old-fashioned emails in here. FantasyFootball@CBSI.com. This is from McKaysey. Trade or keep Juju Smith-Schuster?
I'd keep him. Everyone is probably down on him right now. I don't think you're going to get nearly the amount of value you should need to deal a guy that has his upside as well if you know they figure something out downfield.
All right, from Evan. I have James Conner. Do I trade him now or sit on him for a little while? I need help at running back. I lost Saquon. I don't know. Like, Conner, I'm pretty good with Conner.
Yeah.
Like, the usage is going to be good. Yeah. Yeah, he's just super involved, and they obviously need to ride him. Julio and Mack or Bell and Juju? Which side would you rather have? This is from Nick. Julio Jones and Marlon Mack or Le'Veon Bell and Juju Smith-Schuster?
Whew. That's a tricky one. I don't know what I would take. I think I'd probably take Bell and Juju, but it's close.
I think I'd take Julio and Mack.
I like Bell to have a really good second half after we saw him just so heavily used in their first few weeks, and then Darnold hopefully coming back would improve the whole offense.
Okay. And then this is from the fantasy football sex symbol, Eddie Ray. Interesting. Thought that was me. In Boston, Massachusetts. What's up, Tom, Drew, Jacoby, and Jimmy? Come on, Ben.
Quarterbacks that Patriots quarterback.
Hey, there you go. Good job, man. I took a flyer on Golden Tate. I can finally use him. Should I start, sell, or bench Golden Tate moving forward? And I think he's wondering about starting him over Sony Michel.
If it's PPR, I think you can start him over Michel. I've mentioned already in the show, I'm really down on Michel. So it's not really a huge, what's the word I'm trying to say? Endorsement is the word I'm looking for. A huge endorsement of Golden Tate.
Okay.
I'm not necessarily trying to jam him into lineups, and I don't think there's really a lot of sell value. He's just kind of a guy.
I just don't love, like, he's coming back and facing Minnesota and New England. So what's the there's capped upside, I think. Minnesota could smother the Giants.
Yeah.
And
actually,
Michelle,
that's a pretty good argument to sell if he does have any value in someone's league. Because you're right. That's two bad matchups, and I could see him get cut in 2 weeks pretty easily.
Right, right. And PPR versus non-PPR is a big difference when you're talking about Tate versus Sony Michel. Anyway, we're getting played off right now by Ben Folds 5. Ben, thank you for your time. Sorry about that. Yeah. Fantasy feud. I know you really wanted to keep that title.
Oh, no, I won. I mean, he thinks he won a tiebreaker. Yeah.
I'm sorry about that. All right, so tomorrow, start or sit for the AFC home games. Thanks, everyone. See ya.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.